This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork.
More candidates are throwing their hats in the ring as the 2024 presidential election approaches. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Just last week, Ron DeSantis announced his candidacy for president. He joins a growing list of candidates vying for the Republican nomination. As the 2024 election shapes up, WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times and the Center for Effective Government were launching the Democracy Solutions Project. Over the next 18 months, we'll discuss some of the threats to democracy in the U.S., as well as ways that we can strengthen democracy. Now, today on the podcast, we talk to someone who's made it his mission to strengthen one of the foundations of a strong democracy, civic engagement. Eric Liu is the co-founder and CEO of Citizen University. That's a nonprofit working to, quote, build a culture of powerful, responsible citizenship across the country. He's also an author of multiple books, including his latest, Become America, Civic Sermons on Love, Responsibility, and Democracy. So, Eric, how would you characterize the state of democracy in the country in 2023? I mean, some worry that it's fragile at this moment, but there's still a lot to be proud of, right?
I think you captured it exactly right. It is definitely a both and. There are cracks in the foundation, and there are people working to renovate, and it's all happening at the same time. And and I think, or to use a different approach of a metaphor, you know, there are a lot of challenges in our kind of democratic culture right now that feel like they're coming from places distant from us and forces greater than us. And at the same time, there are so many people rooted in place and in community in places like Chicago who are just trying to be part of the solution and trying to fix, whether it's a specific form of engagement, transparency of government, ways to be heard, ways to mobilize and organize people who've been cut out of the process. And I think, you know, the question for our time is whether this bottom-up renewal can keep pace with the, in some ways, top-down corrosion and erosion of the system itself.
You've also said that it is a legitimate question whether this particular form of democracy that we have here in the U.S., whether it deserves to survive.
Well, look, I think one of the things we have to keep in perspective is that as hard as things are right now, they are meant to be hard. We are doing something that hasn't yet been done in human history. We are trying to create the planet's first mass multiracial democratic republic. And no other society has tried to hit all those marks at the same time. And that includes the United States. For as much as we've professed, our faith in democracy and the centrality of our constitutional republic as a way of governing ourselves, it's only been in our lifetimes that this country has tried, both on paper and to an extent in social norms, to actually make that mean, yes, justice for all. Yes, actually, all of us are created equal. And even during our lifetimes, that's been fitful and nonlinear and sometimes two steps backward with each one forward. And so I think we are putting to the test the question of whether this is possible. And, you know, I think those who are, you know, losing faith in our system, losing faith in participation at all, my plea is to say, don't give up yet. I think we determine by whether we choose to show up right now, whether in fact this is possible. And if we just decide preemptively that, you know what, this game is too rigged, there's no point, nothing ever changes, then we just make it so. And I think that would be a shame under any circumstance, but especially right now when, with all the changes in our society, with mm-hmm. this surge of bottom-up power, we actually have a chance to deliver on a promise that's never been kept.
So earlier on the show, we were rattling through some of the threats to democracy in our country. Everything from political divisions, we talked about misinformation, how institutions like the Supreme Court are structured. Mm-hmm. How do you think more civic engagement can help?
Well, a lot of those threats you just described, and they are real, and are what I would call structural threats, you know, gerrymandering and the ways in which our voting systems cut most people out of the process because they are 50% plus one first past the post systems rather than, you know, ranked choice voting or other kinds of systems that might include many more people and incentivize politicians to speak to many more people. But as important as those kinds of structural reforms are, structural changes like let's put term limits on the Supreme Court so that you don't have the stakes that you have right now with every decision and the other issues that that institution is facing. As important as structure is, our view at Citizen University, and my view just personally, is that culture precedes structure. Culture, by which I mean the norms, the values, the habits, the mindsets, the heart sets of how we deal with each other every day, culture is upstream of policy. It if you have a culture that is selfish, short-term, cynical, you know, skeptical of the purposes of engagement, mistrustful of others, you know, then you're going to have very narrow parameters and very little room to make structural reform or change things. But if you have a culture in which people decide, you know what, showing up isn't for suckers, showing up matters. If you have a culture where people think about contribution before consumption and stewardship rather than just taking and service before self, then your room for structural change opens up. And so I think civic engagement is not just a matter of, hey, go to your local, you know, city council meeting or school board meeting. Civic engagement is a deeper cultural question of, do we see each other as having our fates entwined? Do we show up for each other in all the ways that precede elections and precede structural change? And the more we can foster that kind of culture, I think the better shot we have at having structural solutions to the problems that plague our democracy.
So if someone out there listening to us right now, Eric, if they want to take steps to ramp up their own personal civic engagement, where do you suggest they start?
I think they start literally where they are, in their neighborhood, in their community, in their part of Chicago. Number one, just think about your place. Yes, there's all kinds of things on fire in national politics. And, you know, as we head toward the 2024 election, there's a lot of things that you can just doom scroll on social media or just plop yourself in front of cable news and get all anxious about. But if you look around and ask, well, what's going on in Hyde Park? What's going on in the back of the yards? What's going on in the Loop? What's going on in, you know, one neighborhood or another? Then ask yourself, okay, do I understand the map of power in my neighborhood? Who decides things? And I don't mean just who's my alderman or, you know, who serves on, who represents me on the school board. I mean, literally, who are the people with clout? Those could be business people. Those could be elders who everybody turns to on the block because they're the ones who have moral authority. They could be young people who really shape the vibe and the norms of your
block. It's the time of the influencer right now.
It is, you know, and I think tuning in to who has power in your community and your neighborhood and then asking yourself, how do I draw myself into that map of power, right? And to me, the simplest way to do that is to join something. I don't want to make civic engagement seem like some huge mountain to climb. Join a club. Join a club. I don't even care if it's civic or political. Join a gardening club. Join a book club. Join a neighborhood club. Whatever it is, the simple act of joining and rebuilding this atrophied muscle of association, negotiation, dealing with people who are unlike you in some ways but have come together for some common purpose and have to figure out a common agenda and common goals. Those are all the muscles that have disappeared in American life. And you can't just fix this from the top down with a new president or a new proposal or a new piece of legislation if we don't have that kind of Tocquevillian habits of the heart. Of dealing with each other in human scale, then nothing's going to last.
So what if they take your advice and they, you know, they line up with these folks that you've outlined or join clubs, but they're still having trouble figuring out which issues to align with, right? I've heard from folks that there are so many pressing issues right now. I can't choose one. I don't know where to spend my energy fighting for change. What do you say to folks trying to figure that out?
I would say the silver lining in the fact that there are 100 issues that are urgent and 100 crises that you could plug into. Yes, I get that that kind of scope of options and choice can freeze you in place. But the upside of it is literally pick anything and you'll be useful. Pick one and just decide, you know what, this doesn't have to be my life's work and my commitment for the next 3 decades or 4 decades to work on issue X, if it's gentrification or if it's homelessness or if it's police, community relations or whatever it might be. But just decide, I'm going to pick this issue for the next 6, 9, 12 months, and I'm going to get smart on it. I'm going to figure out who works on it. I'm going to join with others who want to learn about it. And if over the course of those 6, 9, 12 months, you decide, you know what, this is great. This issue is, you know, giving me great focus and I'm passionate about it, then wonderful. But you may also decide after that period of time that, okay, I've learned a lot about how to learn a lot on a single civic issue, mm-hmm. but this one isn't my issue. Now I'll pivot to a different one, right? I think to me, the idea that there are too many to choose from, I don't know where to choose. I think we can simply bypass by saying pick anything and then just commit to it for a stretch of time so that that becomes the way that, again, you practice, you build muscle. And democratic self-government, participation in our system is a matter of practice. It's not a one and done. It's not like you flip a switch or cast a ballot and call yourself civically capable. This is just like any form of practice, whether it's sports, whether it's medicine, whether it's art or dance or whatever. You mm-hmm. got to keep on showing up and figuring out what you're good at and what you want to get better at.
Let's talk about your latest book from 2019. It's called Become America: Civic Sermons on Love, Responsibility, and Democracy. Give us a bit more about that and explain, what is a civic sermon?
Yeah, well, I think the backdrop for why I call the pieces of this book civic sermons is that for years now, Citizen University has been catalyzing these gatherings around the country called Civic Saturday. And Civic Saturdays are essentially a civic analog to a faith gathering. It's not church or synagogue or mosque, but on purpose, it has the arc and the flow and the feel of that kind of gathering. But it's about civic life and it's about recommitment to our lives as Americans. And so when you come to a Civic Saturday, which all happen in different communities, small towns, rural places, big cities, they're happening all over the United States at any given day or any given weekend. We invite people just to show up with strangers, turn to the people next to them and talk about questions that blow past small talk, like, who have you let down lately? What are you afraid of in your community? Who are you responsible for? That kind of open up the heart, right? And then there are readings of texts that are drawn from different parts of the American tradition, some known and some not so well known, that you might think of as civic scripture. Someone gives a civic sermon that helps make sense of these times and tie together the things that people are feeling, the pain, the fear, the loss, the anxiety that it pervades our civic life and our culture right now, and connect that to just what you and I were talking about, Sasha. What's a way that we can do something about that? What are ways that we could join together here in our community, in our place? What are some concrete channels where we can show up together and decide we're going to do something, right? And so
you've said it's not civic engagement that we need. You've said it's rather civic religion, right? More of a change of heart, a change
absolutely.
Of habits.
And we mean this in a very serious sense. We don't mean religion in the sense of a godly organized religion, but rather the recognition that democracy is a faith-fueled endeavor, faith not in a deity, but faith in each other and in the possibility that this system that we've got, this experiment that we've inherited, could actually work. And as I often say, democracy works only if enough of us believe democracy works. It's that evanescent in a way, right? In some ways, it's a little bit like money. When in times of crisis, you suddenly realize that this rectangular green piece of paper that has the number 5 or 20 or 10 on it only means something to the extent that millions of us simultaneously invest it with meaning. And the minute that that mutual millionfold agreement to invest that piece of paper with meaning evaporates, then you have a financial crisis, then you have hyperinflation, then you have the kinds of crises that you see around the world. But we're having that kind of crisis around our rectangular piece of paper that's parchment, and that's the Constitution, right? And I think we've got to actually rekindle faith in each other in the system by showing up regularly to practice it. And so this book, Become America, captures some of the civic sermons that I delivered over the last few years at Civic Saturday gatherings around the country.
Well, I mean, I could talk to you about so much more, Eric, but I would be remiss if I didn't point out just the sheer sense of discouragement right now, just across the board. A lot of folks are discouraged about the state of our politics, the future of this country. You are so optimistic. I just want to know what you would say to folks right now feeling down. How do you stay so positive? Leave us with something, some inspiration.
Go talk to a young person. That's my simplest advice. You know, I think about the young people who were involved in the Mikvah Challenge in Chicago, which you know well,
yes.
An organization that is activating high school students to learn civics by doing civics, by actually showing up and putting into practice these ideas. And they are coming from neighborhoods where and communities where they have every reason to be down, every reason to be cynical and skeptical that the system could ever be responsive to them. And yet they're showing up, figuring out how to change things in their ward, how to change things in their neighborhood, and how to find their voice, literally by learning public speaking and advocacy and so forth. And when you see the kind of energy and hopefulness, and I say it's hope, not optimism, because hope actually implies agency, right? They are feeling agency. And young people like that just give me fuel and fire.
Talk to a young person. That's Eric Liu, author and CEO of Citizen University. Thank you so much.
Sasha, it's been great to be with you. Thank you.
This episode of Reset was produced by Dan Tucker, and it was edited by Andrew Merriweather and Stephanie Kim. Stay up to date on all the big stories happening in our city and across the country by subscribing to our podcast. And when you do, be sure to leave us a rating and review so that more listeners can find our show. That's all for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Let's talk again tomorrow.